You're listening to Star Wars Splash Page Comics in Review.
It is episode number 235, and the bounties are being hunted. Jeff, how are you?
Geek me all knowing boxes stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before, cause Ren looks hardcore, and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
I'm good, Matt. Yes, the bounties are being hunted, and the hunters are being bounty.
Exactly.
Which is to say that they're being mopped up with a kitchen towel, disposable kitchen. I messed that joke up. It had such promise.
There's always next time. You know, we'll try it again next week. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Otherwise, how are you?
I'm good. Other than the mosquito bites on my head, we're like halfway through May, and I've got two mosquito bites on my arm and two on my head. It's summer in Texas.
You're so sweet.
Yes, it is.
So, you're like the living embodiment of Texas sweet tea.
You're exactly right. Actually, they say that people with diabetes, like I have, are often the targets of mosquitoes.
There you go. Well, I'm good. We're recording on my 51st birthday, so happy birthday.
Hooray!
To me. Yeah,
you know, awesome. Like a day over 50.
Thank you. I thank you very much. I feel that. I feel that, and I accept it, backhanded though it may be, with full cognizance.
No, actually, I always forget that. I think we're closer in age than we are. So that actually is a bit of a compliment.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I always think you're like 4 years older than me.
It's my level of maturation.
Yes. So,
which is why I'm 51 years old and co-hosting a comic book podcast about Star Wars.
I had someone tell me one time that I'm childlike but not childish, and I took that as a compliment.
That is an excellent compliment, actually. Yeah, I would totally accept that.
An 11-year-old kid said that to me, and I was like, you're wise beyond your years.
That is cool. That is very cool. So. Sweet. All right. News. We got news. Okay. We're ready? IDW has got some more publishing changes. They are voluminous. So, however, what makes it newsworthy to us is that the High Republic Adventures number 5 was originally due on June 9th, is now due on June 16th. So, been just a week's delay on that. Everything else has been pushed back by anywhere from 2 weeks to or 3 weeks. You can check out our Facebook page for the breakdowns of Star Wars Adventures 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and see when they are now scheduled for release. Bear in mind, that could change, and it probably will. So just the way it is, unfortunately.
Are these just normal delays, or is there something specific that do we know?
Actually, it looks like they're getting everything back on track. Because these delays are just, it's like, 2 weeks here. Like, for example, Star Wars Adventures number 5 had been due to come out June 9th. Now it's June 23rd. So that pushes Star Wars Adventures 6 to July 7th instead of June 23rd. And then, and it's sort of a cascading effect. One thing that has not been changed, Star Wars Adventures number 10, still due September 1st.
So. Okay.
Yeah. While we still don't have sales stats, and of course you can't see me, but I'm putting air quotes around sales. From Diamond and Comic-Con, they did, however, Comic-Con was able to put together some March estimates using retailers' initial order sample to determine approximate unit and dollar sales. So Star Wars comics actually fared pretty well. High Republic number 3 was number 12. And that's in terms of unit sales. So like you could say like in terms of copies sold. Coming in at number 32 was Star Wars number 12. Coming in at number 36 was the High Republic Adventures number 2. And that is a shockingly good showing.
Yeah, for the number 2 issue, yeah.
Yeah, and that is an IDW book. So, you seldom see them that high. So, coming in at number 74, Bounty Hunters number 10.
Nice.
At number 101 was Dr. Aphra number 8. And at number 196 was Star Wars Adventures number 4. Now, remember, there's no Darth Vader listed because there was no Darth Vader book in March. Because, you know, there was that, you know, that what about that 3-month stretch where each one of the main titles was taking a month off.
Right. Really, really strong showing for Star Wars overall, considering there's no new film on the horizon.
Exactly. I mean, and essentially you've got 3 books in the top 40, 2 of which are High Republic related, and only one of which is, you know, if you will, like sort of legacy, you know, or i.e. original trilogy. So that's pretty cool. You know, clearly these rankings may start to change later this year when Marvel starts shipping through Penguin. You know, as Comic-Con makes these estimates, we will in turn relay them. So that's, you know, that's just the way it is. Last but not least, speaking of Star Wars, issue number 14, which is due out June 16th, we have finally gotten to see John Tyler Christopher's action figure variant cover, and it is B-Wing Pilot.
I love it.
I do too, because I always like the B-Wing Pilot's snappy red outfit. And the way B-Wing Pilots have those great helmets with like, they look like the top of clone trooper helmets on the sides.
So, yes, they do. And then, also they look like they're wearing, they look like Lobot.
Yes.
The thing going around Lobot's head. Yeah.
Very much so. Very much so. So that's where we are news wise. And that's basically it. And though there were 4 new Star Wars comics out today being Wednesday, May 19th for your listeners, we are not reviewing 3 of them. Why? Because we already have, because they are reprints of the High Republic number 1, number 2, and number 3. So
that is the book that will not stop.
It keeps on going and going and going. High Republic number 1 is now up to a 5th printing. High Republic number 2 is up to a 4th printing. High Republic number 3 is up to a 3rd printing. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I think I mentioned before, I've got a friend who owns a comic shop, and he asked me a while back, what did you think of the High Republic? So I'm talking about how much I enjoyed the book and how great it was, and it wasn't what I was expecting. And his response was, man, that book made me so much money because it's selling so well.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Well, so, there is a demand.
Critical and commercial success.
There is a demand, because even like, you know, my local comic shop, you know, that's, they've only got like 2 or 3 copies on the shelf, and they routinely sell out, including the reprints. So it's pretty cool. But the one book we are reviewing today is Bounty Hunters number 12, which, as with all the other Star Wars comics this month, with the exception of the High Republic, is a tie-in to the prelude to War of the Bounty Hunters. And I like that they're doing this. I like that they're marking, you know, they mark the book with the logo of the War of the Bounty Hunters event, and then they, you know, mark that it's prelude. You know, so we know where we are in terms of the timeline.
Yeah, the only thing I'm wondering if they couldn't put something along the top that says where it falls in the timeline of the story. So if you're looking through a back issue bin and you don't have it handy, you'd be able to tell, oh, this is the 3rd one in this series. I don't know.
Well,
it's not obviously not necessary, especially in this day and age. It's easy enough to find that information, and they are listed, you know, in the back of the book. But yeah. It's one thing that it kind of struck me that's one thing that might have been helpful. But whatevs.
Well, you know, it still works. So
yeah, but I do like this cover with it's Valance's eye, but we see Han Solo in it.
Yeah, which of course is an immediate draw right there, because you see Han Solo on the cover of this book. This main cover, of course, is by Mattia D. Ayulis, and it's a great cover. There is also a variant that's called a crimson variant, which is essentially the cover A, just done in a crimson hue, of course. And then we also have a Lucasfilm 50th. You know, ESB by Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, and Niraj Menon. Author and writer of this book, Ethan Sachs. Artist, Paolo Villanelli. Colors are by Arif Prianto. Letters are by Virtual Calligraphy's Travis Lanham. Nick Russell is overseeing the production design. Tom Groneman is our assistant editor. Mark Panizia is our editor. And, of course, for Lucasfilm, we've got Robert Simpson, the senior editor. Creative director is Michael Seglain. The art director is Troy Alders. For the story group, we've got Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo, and Emily Shkukani. And also from the Lucasfilm Art Department, we have Phil Shostak. As we said, this is War of the Bounty Hunters Prelude, Target, Solo. And our cast, if you will, is Valance, Dengar, Zuckus, and 4LOM. So, and again, the book is told, you know, the events now and then. And it's a good format. I like the way it works because there's a lot of story in this book. Because this book, I thought, much like last week's issue of Star Wars number 13, it felt like it was a double-sized issue, even though it was a, you know, a normal-sized issue. Huh. And that's a testament, I thought, to really tight writing and a really judicious mix of action, dialogue, and sculpting of the story.
You know, you're right. It didn't dawn on me the first time I was reading it, but now that you mentioned it, there's a lot packed in here, and it is very, very well structured and well edited. And I love this opening. They're in the YouTube system here in Narshada, and they're flying the saucer section of the Starship Enterprise, apparently still.
We've already been through this. Let's ease up on that. So
no, I love it though, because we don't ever see ships like this in the Star Wars universe, and I actually love that we have an actual flying saucer.
I think it's great. Yeah, we should see more flying saucers.
Really
cool. I love it when properties, you know, actually put flying saucers in there. That's one of the reasons why I love Battle Beyond the Stars so much. Is, you know, the that race of beings that were, you know, all a collective conscience. I guess like a pre-Borg Borg. And because they were flying around in a flying saucer. What you've got is we've got Dengar talking to Valance. All I'm saying, Valance, is it doesn't seem wise to charge into Narshada to face Boba Fett without a plan. After all, Fett ain't the kind you want seeing you first before you attack. And, you know, typical Valance, but also it's not a Braccio here. It is actually just, I think he's just oozing self-confidence. And we're also seeing a hint of his Imperial training. I do have a plan. Find Fett. Get Solo. Kill Fett. Of course, for readers who may not
really a deep thinker, are you?
Well, no, but you know, but for readers who remember, you know, Valance is doing some side work for the rebellion. And finding Fett or finding, you know, Han Solo is a big deal. Taking out Fett is just gravy. So I mean, you know, because gosh knows there must be scads of bounties out on Boba Fett as well for people who want to see him dead. So it's a win-win for Valance. Then of course Dengar follows up, not really a deep thinker, are you? You don't like how I'm running things? You're free to leave. Airlock works fine. Why'd you agree to join me anyway? And then we get this great close-up shot of Dengar, you know, with the scars crisscrossing his face, holding up the holo of Fett. I have my reasons. And I like that grin on his face. You know, it's puzzling because, you know, these are bounty hunters, and so you can't really trust them. You know, they are
right.
They are colleagues by chance and circumstance. So, and this, of course, is a circumstance where, yeah, as good as Valance is, he's going to need some backup. So, and it can't hurt to have somebody who really wants to take Fett down, that being Dengar. Then, of course, we get the proximity alarm. That's the proximity alarm. We have another ship on our tail. What the? So, and which is great. And, of course, guess who it is?
That's going to be Zuckus and 4LOM. I'm just going to call him 4LOM because it takes less time to say than 4LOM. And I love this because Dengar said, who could attract us way out here? And we see their ship. And I just love the design of their ship as well.
It's the I love the Mist Hunter so much. It's an awesome ship. It was
it really is.
It's one of the few ships that I bought for the X-Wing miniatures game.
Oh, nice! I have the Houndstooth.
That's another Pam got
for me for my birthday last year because it's Bosk's ship. She got it. She goes, that's Bosk's ship, isn't it? I said, yep, this is exactly right. Yeah, that's cool.
All those ships are great, and it's funny how remarkably small the Mist Hunter is compared to, like, you know, Slave One or the Houndstooth. So. But yeah, that's pretty awesome. And then, of course, we get our Gand Finesman.
Greetings, Valance, our old friend. Your head start is officially up. Turn over the girl Cadelia, and Zuckus promises you some mercy. And then 4LOM says, this unit makes no such promise. Easy, 4LOM. The target doesn't need to know such information. And I love the shot of the two of them together. It just looks like an album cover.
It does, doesn't it?
I love it.
Oh, it looks like a the next Black Keys album cover if it was set in the Star Wars universe. So,
or if Daft Punk did a Star Wars covers album.
Oh my God, that would be awesome. Too bad they split up. Maybe that's what will get them back together and recording again. So the Mist Hunter,
said we'll get started on that.
Yeah, there we go. Let's start the petition at change.org right now. So the Mist Hunter fires. And of course, you know, while they're firing, they're still communicating. While they're firing on Dengar and Valance, they're still communicating. Zuckuss would remind you that the terms of the Unbroken Clan's bounties state dead or alive. And of course, this is all news to Dengar. Girl, what is that Fiennes been talking about? What the criffing hells have you gotten me into, Valance? Just surrender and give them what they want. I'll die before that happens. Yeah, well, better you than me. Your obsession with Solo makes you reckless. Why is that damn scoundrel so important to you anyway? And of course, you know, we get a great look here at Valance because he's starting to look pensive. And we get a billaboop, 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 billaboop. I have my reasons. And now we're then.
Abrogado Ray spaceport, yeah.
Should I kill him, boss? And it's Valance, you know, with a, you know, he's got a gun to the back of his head. Not yet. We're short for a fourth gun for the hit. Source of the docking bay says a smuggler landed here a few hours ago to refuel. Doesn't give us a lot of time to improvise. He don't look like Kavanaugh's Thorn crew material to me. Sifak will vouch for me. I'm a good shot. And that's Valance responding. I know who you are. Heard about that botched job with Nakano Lash. Look, Kavanaugh, I'm desperate. I really need the credits. How desperate? Show us. Security got an anonymous tip that there's a cyborg in the cantina who works for the Huts. This port is under Pike control. They don't like the Huts. Meet us at the port and collect those credits, if you survive.
Okay, I'm going to need some help parsing all of this out. I was having a little trouble following what's happening here.
Okay, well, the way I see it, Valance is in trouble, and he's about to get iced. But Kavanaugh Thorn, who is our guy in the helmet, you know, he's right. Looking like the helmet that Mordred wore in Excalibur here. You know, is saying, all right, I can use you. But Valance's reputation, of course, you know, with the Nakano Lash gig is now preceding him. So he's kind of a hot potato. You know, it's with Nakano Lash botching that job for the Unbroken Clan.
Right, right. So he's basically saying, telling him, if you can make your way out of here and get yourself to the hangar, where Rena and Corey, then you're welcome to that gets you an audition, basically.
Well, yeah, basically, okay. if he can take down the Hutt cyborg, you know, that's gonna impress the Pike Syndicate, which will in turn impress Kavanaugh. So,
I assume that the cyborg they were talking about was him.
Well, it
could that's be, where I get confused.
But there could be another.
Gotcha.
So. You never know. That's the thing. So, but that's the beauty of the story.
Well, and because they, as soon as they leave, these guys turn around and go, they say, shut up, cronies of Hutt cronies are not welcome here. So either that's who they're talking about, or there is another one and they just confused him for it. And I was just having a little bit of trouble with it. Could be the fact that it's, you know, we're recording this on a Monday and I haven't slept well for three nights, but
who knows? Okay. That's okay.
so Valance says, we don't have to do this. And this is where they say, Hutt cronies are not welcome here. We're going to do this, aren't we?
Take the cyborg down.
Don't call me that. You really don't want to make me angry. He turns into Bruce Banner here. And they said, I have to get the nerve of this cyborg. This is okay. And Valance says, okay, angry it is. And he just really takes him out with some effort, but not a lot. And one of the guys, you know, says, you're going to die for this. He says, maybe one day. But not today. It's very Indiana Jones of him. Run on me a Temple of Doom. You're going to get killed chasing after your damn fortune and glory. Maybe, but not today. And so he leaves and says, no need to get up. I'll see myself out. And does he throw credits at that guy?
It looks to me like he does.
That's what I thought as well.
It really does look to me like he's throwing credits at the forearm guy. So, You know, and of course, you know, the gist of the entire thing is that it turns out the cyborg who's working for the Hutts, you're right, Jeff, is Valance.
Okay.
So just, you know, the fact is, you know, the Pikes know that he is associated with the Hutts in some sort of tertiary manner. So his being able to get out of that area alive is, like you said, it's his audition tape.
Gotcha. And that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's nicely, you know, it's nicely set up in that manner. So, you know, it makes you wonder at first, like, oh, he's going to take down another cyborg, but no, wait a minute. Well, I mean, he's a self-loathing cyborg anyway, so why would he really care?
Right.
But, you know, we already do know that he is far more human than he lets on. So, anyway, that's just me. So, and that's where we cut back to the present. The Mist Hunter is making very short work of the ship.
And that's where you realize how small it is, because we assume that their ship is not huge, but it's also not
it's not
Starship Enterprise size either.
No, it's not. Yeah. I mean, it's fairly large, but compared to the Mist Hunter, which, you know, itself is not like an X-wing or anything. I mean, you know, it's got room for both of them and a storage hold, but you know, if you look at it, it's almost all engine. But you know, it's armed to the teeth as a good bounty hunter ship would be. So
right. And Dengar says the ship can't take much more. He might hit something important next. And Valance is too late. Zuckus just took out our cannons. Now put that rifle down and hold on to something. So are you gonna just fly into an asteroid field? Are you trying to get us killed? And don't worry, I have a plan, and that's where we see all the space slugs.
I know. I'm so happy to see these guys again. I really am.
Yeah, just coming out of the woodwork there, and he thinks that they're gonna get the Mist Hunter. And Zuckus, Zuckus says this is no place to hide. Zuckus has damaged your thrusters. Surrender the girl's location. There is no shame in defeat to a worthier foe. And Valance says, try to board, and I'll explode the fuel core. Let's see you collect when we're all. And they get hit by one of the exegorths. That's what they're called, right?
Yeah. And there's a whole heap of these exegorths. This is amazing. So, and of course,
a veritable school of exegorths. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you know, this is the beauty of having a double page spread. You can really make it quite expansive and sort of jet the action along here, which is what we're doing. So. but yeah, and I dig it. And of course, Dengar is still just like, what? You know, but
he's like, this is your plan?
Yeah, we lost him. It's all cool. So, and then of course, but Dengar is just like, all right, for a brooder who almost never talks, you know, when you do, you make everything so much worse. So from now on, I'm going to do the talking. I'm not going to be just one more dead body left in your wake. And that's where we cut back. We're back there, and the, you know, the guy's like, Cavanaugh is like, I see you made it just in time. And Valance is shocked because he didn't seem to kill anybody. You know, he just knocked him out. Whereas Cavanaugh has killed a Pike. And of course, you know, the Pike Syndicate is very, they kind of get upset when you do that.
Right.
You know, it's not something they're willing to sort of like, you know, brush aside. But and Valance lets them know, you know, you killed a Pike. That's going to put serious heat on us. And I love this. Not us. They're searching the Cantina District for a cyborg. One now apparently on a rampage. You set me up. I suggest what you should do is help us kill the target, get paid, and get out of Abrigado Ray while you can. Crink it. What's the plan? We have a swear word. Crink it. Crink, crink, crink. Crink you, Jeff.
I beg your crinking pardon.
You can go crink yourself for all I care.
All this is doing is making me want crinkle-cut French fries.
Orida.
It doesn't take much.
Orida. Did you know Orida is a combination of Oregon and Idaho?
I did know that.
Okay. I did not know that. I was only like last year old when I learned that.
Oh, I always kind of assumed when I was a kid.
I never even assumed. It never even occurred to me. Anyway, I digress. So we find ourselves, Valance is setting up the sniper rifle, and he's getting his marching orders from Cavanaugh. The target will have to surface to pay the dockmaster before he can leave. He'll be out in the open with a little cover. Got shooters flanking him on three sides, so one of us is sure to get him. I see the dockmaster, Cavanaugh, but I don't know what the mark looks like. The target is approaching the dockmaster. Get ready for my signal. Where? I can't see him. Wait, there's someone next to a Wookiee. Ah, Han and Chewie.
And he's very upset when he realizes who it is.
Yeah, the Millennium, and I love this because, you know, Han is talking to the Dockmaster. The Millennium Falcon is not a hunk of junk. Did you know she made the All right, I'll pay you the fee. You don't have to be nasty. And yeah, like you said, we cut to that lower panel, and, you know, Valance recognizes him. And it takes him back, and he's shocked. And, of course, nice ploy here. We jump back to the present. Mist Hunter is closing in on their ship. This is your final warning. Turn over Cadelia, or where? And this is Dengar. You know, where is that blasted communicator switch? Wait! And he finally pops up. Wait! Don't fire the girl. Whoever you're looking for isn't on board. Then there is no profit in Succus letting you and your cyborg friend live. First of all, that poodoo is not my friend. Secondly, I have info worth more than what the Unbroken Clan is paying. Much more. And we cut back, and it gets a little confusing, but not too much, you know, because we can tell, you know, thanks to the atmosphere.
The shading. Yeah, this has got a much more the flashback has a much warmer tone.
Oh yeah,
than the present.
And then of course, you know, Valance is a bit younger here. And then of course we have Cavanaugh on my mark. 3, 2 Some more great swear words here, you know, from the Mandalorian. Dank Ferrick.
Yeah,
I didn't even say fire yet. And of course, clearly, that's Valance tipping off Solo and Chewbacca. He shoots fires right
between the two of them,
but he doesn't hit them. You know, and of course, fuzz, and then, you know, another shot goes, and of course, then we get Han. Can we go one day without someone trying to kill us, Chewie? You don't know that. And that shooter could have been aiming at both of us. You know, so clearly Chewie is saying, it's not us, dude, it's you.
What do you mean we?
Yeah, what do we mean we?
Us.
So, and then, you know, we basically get a firefight, you know, that we've, you know, it's redolent of what we've seen in the movies and in other comics. Just they've got the high ground. They're firing down low. Chewie's got his bowcaster. But he takes a hit, but he still keeps on firing, kills one of the assassins. And then this is where Valance gets, I'm sorry, I can't let you kill him. And Cavanaugh says, sorry, well, you will be. And then, of course, Han with his litany.
You jettison cargo one time, and I'd never let you forget it.
And then,
like the Kerrang as it's bad that lasers are bouncing off the metal.
Totally. And then, you know, we cut back to Valance and Cavanaugh. You know, I don't suppose we could just both go our separate ways and chalk this up to a misunderstanding. Oh, there's no misunderstanding. I'm going to turn your corpse over to the Pikes to salvage something from this rancor spore of a day. and a bold move by Valance here. You know, he grabs Cavanaugh's blade and cracks it.
Yeah, cracks
it. You know, oof. And then, you know, finally sort of halts that assault by Cavanaugh, but even then Cavanaugh is like, then I will just take the shot and keep the bounty myself now that the other shares are all dead, because Han and Chewie have made quick work of the others. And Valance leaps at Cavanaugh, no, and you're gonna get us both killed. And Cavanaugh holds on to the railing, Valance falls over it, and the panel situation here is wildly chaotic yet completely effective, I think. Here,
yeah, you can follow what's going on, but it's sort of jumbled
these are like trapezoidal panels almost.
Yeah.
So, but it works because it gives you an idea, and I think it really enhances the fact of how chaotic it is right now. Of course, Valance falls to the ground, crunch, great lettering here, by the way. And then we cut to, you know, we're at the bottom panel, and we cut back up to Cavanaugh. I am surrounded by incompetence. and then Han sees that Valance. I wasn't going to. I didn't know why. I thought we were friends. I saved your life. And Chewie's like, look, this is neither the time nor the place. Picks Han up and, you know, takes him up the Falcon. And here's the thing, what gets really interesting, because as Chewie is dragging Han up the gangway, Han is yelling back to Valance, what the hell's happened to you? Wait, you know, so. And then great full page panel here.
I know.
See the Falcon jettisoning off, blasting skyward. The color work on this is amazing. The just the the perspective of looking up and from behind Valance up into the sky as the Falcon soars off.
And those two towers shooting up into the sky makes it all look very, very vertical.
Yeah, and you know, and then Valance just, I'm sorry.
And this is the first time I've ever really felt sorry for Valance.
Me too, me too.
I really have a lot of sympathy for him right here because he was trying to help and he wanted Solo to know that.
Yeah, and Solo was just, you know, Solo reacted too quickly, you know, and as a result, and here's the thing. Now, I may be wrong, and if any of the listeners out there correct me, please feel free to send us an email or send us a direct message via Twitter.
They're never shy about that. One thing I like about our listeners.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah, it's a very good thing.
I think this might maybe be the first time that Han and Valance have seen each other since Valance's accident back when they were both Imperials.
It's the first time that I can remember. But because, that doesn't mean anything because we, you know, my memory when it comes to stories is, you know, very Civ-like. So,
well, I'm just wondering if it might be because, you know, the shock that Han is feeling here, you know, as he says, you know, well, I saved your life. What the hell's happened to you? You know, so, and is he referring to Valance's, you know, the way he looks now, or is he just referring to Valance's actions that
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. It could be either one.
Yeah. So we don't know. So from there, we cut back to the present. Valance wakes up. Dengar's, you know, on the bridge. We see the Mist Hunter out front through the viewport. What are you doing? Keeping us alive in spite of your attempts to get us killed. So don't ruin it by talking. Now, where was I? Ah, yes. Fett. And this is where we slide into our War of the Bounty Hunters prelude. Jabba the Hutt has put a rather large bounty on his ex-favorite. This is common knowledge. Suckus is aware. And Forlom replies, calculating the cost of fuel and time, it is not an efficient use of resources to join the hunt with so many potential rivals. Yeah, how many of them have intel on where Boba Fett is right now? That would change the calculations. So, and of course, this, you know, leads into our final page, and Valance is like, what did you do? You transmitted the coordinates to them? And why didn't you tell me about that bounty? Did you think I agreed to help you out of the kindness of my heart? It takes a really big bounty, and I mean a really big one, to put up with you. By now, every bounty hunter in the sector will have heard about the price on Fett's head. so, you know, and as he says that, we see a panel of Bossk, and they'll be joining the hunt, some for credits, some for their own reasons. And then, of course, it's Tonga, Fett, you know, see what I mean?
Yep.
And then finally, so you'd better find a hydro spanner and help me get the engines back online. We don't have much time to get to Fett and your precious Solo first. And we get a nice, you know, shot of Boba Fett with Slave One with a to be continued in Star Wars, the War of the Bounty Hunters, number one.
We're finally there. We're done with the preludes, and it's about to be on like Donkey Kong.
We're getting there. We got what, two more, I think. So we got two more to go, and then we are.
Oh, right. Yeah, we joke. Sorry, I just assumed that. Yeah, right. The other books are as well.
But yeah, so this is pretty cool, and I liked this note from Ethan Sachs at the end of the issue. So, and it helps explain, you know, for somebody who didn't read Han Solo Imperial Cadet that miniseries, it gives them an idea of why this is so important. So.
Yeah. So yeah, like you said, really good issue. A lot going on here, and I I've mentioned before about how the Bounty Hunters book is known for these flashbacks. And I'm realizing now that that's just the storytelling device they've chosen to use for this book, at least for the time being. And they're using it so well that it's not bothering me. I know for a while I got a little annoyed with it, but I'm at the point now where I'm seeing what they're doing with it. And I'm a big fan, and it does give this book its own sort of its own vibe. You know, we talked about it before, how each of the titles does have their own sort of mood. And I really like the way they've done this one. And yeah, really, really good connective tissue, but also a really good story and a really good lead up to this, the War of the Bounty Hunters.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Obviously, it's required reading if you're keeping up with all that. But other than that, it's just, you know, it's a really good story. And I like the dialogue is a lot of fun. And, you know, any chance to see Han and Chewie is always a good one.
So. Exactly. Even if it was a brief one. But, you know, it was done in a very effective manner that not only sort of not just ties it in to the War of the Bounty Hunters crossover, but explains why Valance is going to be playing a role in that storytelling. And because right. with this encounter between Han and Valance, that's amazing.
It is. Yeah. Like I said, really good book. I highly recommend it. What have we got for next week?
Well, we have three books. Oh my gosh.
Oh my.
It's a bumper crop. From IDW, we have Star Wars Adventures, Weapon of a Jedi number one, which is a two-issue miniseries that is essentially, it's reprinting the adaptation of the Greg Rucka novella that was released in Europe. And then from Marvel, we have Darth Vader number 12 and Dr. Aphra number 10.
Looking forward to both of those because, you know, those are two of my favorite books that are being written right now. So looking forward to that. So we hope you'll join us next week to discuss those three books. And I hope that you are all enjoying the War of the Bounty Hunters prelude. So until next time, for Star Wars Splash Page, I'm Jeff.
I'm Matt.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
The Star Wars Splash Page theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
Stop peeing!